Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode.
One of the things that we find ourselves doing sometimes is sabotaging ourselves on the way to some of the big goals that we're going after. We're going to talk about how do we stop doing that in this episode. We have a really great guest. He helps clients get out of their own way to achieve their goals. And he is the host of the Tapping Q&A podcast, which provides the answers to the most common and uncommon questions about emotional freedom techniques and tapping. Today's guest for episode 249 of the Breakthrough Success podcast is none other than Gene Monterastelli. Gene, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
My pleasure, Mark.
I'm really looking forward to this interview. For anyone, the audio sounds a little different. This is actually being recorded by at Podcast Movement with Heel Sound. So just for anyone wondering, but I really want to focus on self-sabotage because that's something that happens, something we could be avoiding. So I'd like to just dive in, get some backstory before we go a little bit deep into that. So can you just share with us why you started the Tapping Q&A podcast and that whole journey?
Absolutely. Tapping is an acupressure protocol that is really good for dealing with both physical and emotional issues. The way I found my way to it originally was trying to manage my own social anxiety. I was in a circumstance where I could stand on stage in front of 8,000 people and it was as easy as breathing, but I couldn't answer my own phone and I couldn't get help in a store. I was just petrified from those individual interactions. And so as I was trying to find tools to make a difference, I found my way to this tool called Emotional Freedom Technique, which is an acupressure modality. And within 6 weeks, my social anxiety was gone. Like it was completely transformed and I was in a circumstance where all of those things that I couldn't do before, I could do. And it was just something that was so revolutionary, and it's really simple to do that I just wanted to share the good news of it. So 11 years ago, I started a blog as a hobby. Like there was nothing other than I just wanted to share with people some things that I had found really super useful and just started writing about the topic. About 2 years into that, I started doing a podcast where I was interviewing folks about the protocol and how they used it in their private practice. And so it just came from this place initially of just wanting to share a tool that had transformed my own life.
And I really like this theme where you figured out how to solve a problem for yourself and you went on a mission to help others. And we were talking a little bit of podcast, but you mentioned some really powerful examples with some of your clients with the main idea is that we don't try to intentionally self-sabotage ourselves, but there are these different roots that have been firmly placed within us, sometimes at a very early age. And I'm wondering if you could talk about how we can identify and remove those roots.
Absolutely. In almost every circumstance, when we are sabotaging ourselves, on a subconscious level, we're trying to keep ourselves safe. So think of, for example, doing something in your business like making a sales presentation to someone. And you have this phone number of someone you want to call and you put it off day after day after day. And that's because there's a part of you that doesn't want to hear the word no. And so it's protecting you from putting yourself out there and being judged in that way. So anytime we're not taking action, it's coming from a subconscious belief that is trying to keep us safe. The problem is there are times in which those beliefs aren't accurate. For example, it's great that I am afraid of lions, but I live in Brooklyn, New York, and if I never left my apartment because there was a lion in the Bronx Zoo, that would be a disproportionate response to that fear. When I'm making a sales offer, I'm asking someone to buy from me, the part of me that doesn't want to hear no on some level feels like I'm going to be judged. I'm going to hear in my head subconsciously, when you say no to my offer, what you're saying is my work is no good. And that's not actually the case, but because I'm doing something that I love, it's easy to get those two things tied up. And so I am keeping myself safe, and I'll put that in quotes, by not taking that action. So there are four basic reasons why we sabotage ourselves. Either we don't know what we want, we don't know how to do it, it is painful to take action, or it is painful to be successful. So when we don't know what we want, if I don't have a clear vision of what I want, I'm not going to take action because subconsciously I don't want to go in the wrong direction. When I don't know how to do something, I don't know about you, but I don't like feeling incompetent. So I'm going to steer clear of the things that I don't know how to do. Therefore, I'm not taking action because I'm not exactly sure how to do that thing. Sometimes it's painful for us to take the action. If I am doing this thing, I'm identifying myself this way, maybe the people in my family are going to start judging me because I'm choosing a path away from them. And then finally, and as odd as it seems, it can be painful to be successful. Like one of my clients was in a circumstance that when she was very young, every single time she achieved something, no matter how hard that she worked at it, that became the new normal. So if she got an 85 on a math test, going forward, only 85 was acceptable. If she got a 90 on a math test, then going forward, only 90% was successful. So for her, anytime she achieved something, in her mind, it was creating new expectations. So we bring that into our adult lives where we don't want our business to be successful because I've had to work really hard to get here, and now I have to work really hard to stay here. And again, these aren't conscious thoughts. It's not like we go, boy, I'm going to avoid this. But subconsciously, that's how we sabotage ourselves.
And I really like this theme of like subconscious. Like you have to really look deep into the problem, deep into yourself to figure out what exactly is holding you back, as Gene pointed out. And like once we like maybe we look deep, we see the problem, we like get past it. How do we stay past our problems? How can we continue to go full steam ahead?
Absolutely. So when it comes to these issues that are rooted in our subconscious mind, you can't think your way out of a subconscious belief. If that were the case, then simply recognizing our problems would be enough. And so what we need to do is we need to use some sort of tool set that will allow us to go in and do transformation in the subconscious mind so this belief doesn't keep coming up over and over and over again. I mean, you know what it's like where you're dealing with someone who's afraid of something that is safe, like getting on an airplane or going up a tall elevator or being at the top of a building. You can't just say, oh, it's safe and that's enough. Even though they intellectually know that's the case, so that's why I use a tool set like tapping, is because it actually allows us to go into the subconscious mind and transform these beliefs into healthy, useful beliefs from unhealthy beliefs. So it's a two-part process, like you identified. First is figuring out what is the underlying cause that's holding us back at each of these steps, and the second is using a tool like tapping, and there's loads of others that do it, to be able to transform and release that.
And I really like, you need to have the approach for making that transformation, as Gene mentioned, because you could identify a problem, but if you're not able to solve that problem, then you still have the problem. Identifying is really just the first step towards a bigger puzzle. But what do you believe holds most people back from being able to stop self-sabotaging themselves, even if they know what the cause is?
Well, I think there's two aspects to that. The first is most people don't realize the root cause of them self-sabotaging themselves. They just recognize, oh, I'm just procrastinating. That's a well-described, oh, I'm just procrastinating. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to. And procrastination is the outcome. It's not the cause. So most people don't have a clear understanding of why they are doing it, or we'll even name it as self-sabotage until we start defining it in that way. It's like, oh yeah, I'm the one who's holding me back. Then once you've gotten through that, then it's a completely different process. I mean, for me, even though this is the work that I do and I constantly help clients with this sort of stuff, I am so close to my own issues that I often can't see them clearly. And I have someone I work with in the exact same protocol. People hire me to help them to transform. I actually pay someone else to do that with me because sometimes we're so close and inside, particularly these subconscious issues, that even if we see them clearly, we are still too close to them to be able to transform them.
That's a really good point. And I like how like coaches do tend to hire other coaches because it could sometimes take that outside person to see some of the subconscious things or make us to act on them as well. And one of the things that I also want to address is I like asking people for a big challenge they face. So can you share with us a big challenge you faced and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge?
So I guess for me, it's interesting because I work mostly with folks in a business arena. For me, my big challenges show up in my personal life. that professionally I've done a very good job of assessing these things and clearing them out. When it comes to the personal life, I am struggling in the exact same way where I feel confident and comfortable inside of my business, but like that Ruth, that social anxiety piece, I was in a circumstance where it truly was crippling my life. The reason that I finally chose to reach out and get help and find a tool set was I was now making choices where I was hurting other people. Like, it was one thing for me to do something and hurt myself, but I had people who were counting on me because they were doing really big things and they're my friends and I wanted to help them, but I was telling lies. I was lying that I was making phone calls to help them do things, which I was crippled by that. And so once I got to the point, it was kind of my rock bottom point with that, where my choices, because of my fear, were preventing other people from having success. That's when I hit that big challenge. And that's when I went, okay, this is too much. That's when I went and started really, because I had known for almost 5 years that social anxiety was something that, like, I had it named. I knew it was an issue, but it took that moment for me to go, okay, it's now time to do something, and in earnest found a tool set.
And it's interesting how you find out, okay, I need to take action, the moment you realize that, hey, this isn't just something affecting me, this is something affecting people who I care about. So like, if you could connect your problem like that, it could really get you to take a lot more action. And one of the ways that you could take a lot more action, especially a lot more focused action, is to read a lot of books in your subject. So with that in mind, I'm wondering, Gene, if you could share with us 3 books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
In what way? In dealing with self-sabotage, or?
Just like any area in general, like definitely like the self-sabotage, because that will give us like a few good books, but like just like business, productivity, but definitely self-sabotage as well.
The interesting thing is, when I was doing my research and stepping out, there isn't a huge amount of stuff that is written on self-sabotage. Anything, and I can't think of any of the titles off of the top of my head, but anything that's been created by the author David Wells, he is based in Australia. David is fabulous. Brad Yates is another author who's created some amazing stuff. He always talks about when we are sabotaging ourselves, how brilliant and creative we are when it comes to sabotaging ourselves, that our true creativity shows up. So those are the two authors that I would particularly lean towards in finding information on that sort of stuff.
Thank you, Gene, for those recommendations. We'll throw all of those into the show notes, markerberry.com/E249. I'll also throw in Podcast Domination. You could get that book for pre-order now. It helps you launch, grow, and monetize your podcast. The link to that is markerberry.com/PD. And one of the things I want to ask you is, like, we are a podcast movement, like, really great event for anyone who, like, hasn't been there for the first time. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. But, like, what are some of the things that you are doing to grow your podcast?
So coming to an event like this, it's twofold for me. One is to be in a circumstance where I get an opportunity to learn specifically about the technology and getting better at it. Like audio editing, I've been podcasting for a decade, and editing is still my weakest subject just because that's not something I have a huge amount of experience with. And so this is an opportunity for me really to do that. As far as growing the podcast, the thing that is really important is the conversation that we're having today. I mean, this came about because you and I ended up sitting next to each other yesterday at another workshop. And so I make sure that every single workshop that I go to here, I get there a few minutes early so I can introduce myself to everybody around me. And it's just this opportunity to make formal, informal connections, because I think it's inside of that that we get the opportunity to really grow our podcast, because we get the opportunity to connect with other folks who have audiences that we don't get an opportunity to share. The place people most common will get a podcast recommendation is from a friend. The second most common place they get a recommendation is from a podcast that they already listen to. And so anytime us as podcasters can connect and cross-promote each other, it puts us in a circumstance where all of us get a chance to grow our audiences because we're sharing our audiences.
And would you say cross-promotion? Like, I really understand, like, you get on a podcast, like, then you get invited as a guest. Like, there's so many different ways that can compound, but would you say cross-promotion is the, like, the only, like, top way to grow, or, like, there's some other things?
Oh, it's one of those things that I think anybody who's looking for a single way to grow their podcast is going to be in trouble, just because it's... because we're dealing with lots of different things. On one level, there is this population in the United States, it's somewhere around a third of the population, that is aware of a podcast. And that means that two-thirds of the United States doesn't know what a podcast is at all. And so when we're growing our audience, we're bumping into two types of audience. One is, how do we evangelize to our message to people who are already podcasters? And the other is, how do we make connections with folks who aren't? So for me, every opportunity I have when I am connecting with people, when I am out speaking, I'm constantly talking about podcasting in general, as well as my show in specific, knowing that both of those things are going to help me, because if the podcast universe grows, when they're searching for the topic that I cover, they're going to find me because they now know podcasts exist.
And I mean, and you're also helping like everyone with a podcast. Like if you get one of those like 66% of people to be on podcasts, and I like Social Media Examiner posts like things every year, like podcast just like grows year after year.
Yeah, just this slow little growth, and getting a chance to be a part of that is great. And so, I mean, one of the things that there's another podcast I produce called Abiding Together, and it's three women, and all of them are speakers, and we have a postcard that they give out at all of their events. The front is the information about the podcast. The back is, what is a podcast, and how do you actually listen to a podcast for the very first time? Because much of their audience has never listened to a podcast before, so we're not just saying, hey, here's a podcast, but we're also teaching them, this is how you consume a podcast, and this is how it's really simple for you.
Interesting. And I mean, like I wouldn't have a business card like that at Podcast Movement, because like, we all know, but like,
yeah, so just when we're out in the world, again, you can assume when you're out in the world and you're interacting with people, 2/3 of the people that you interact with daily, you know, excluding our friends, because we all talk too much about our own podcasts, our friends and families know about a podcast. But when you're getting away from that immediate core group where you've talked about it before, you can assume 2 out of the 3 people you talk to have never listened to a podcast before. And so it's really important we're talking about podcasts big picture before we can get them to engage in what we are doing.
And you mentioned you're, in addition to the Tap In Q&A podcast, you're also involved with another podcast, but how do you manage multiple podcasts? What's that like?
Well, it depends. So, I manage a podcast network, and on the podcast network, it varies. Some of the shows I'm just a consultant on, like it's folks who are really competent. Other shows, they have no idea what they're doing, and so I'm actually doing the editing for them. And so what I've done is I've worked really hard to have a very clear workflow for every single one of the shows. That each of the shows that I work with, we have a giant spreadsheet with every single bit of the process from pre-production, production, post-production, and marketing. And with the different shows, there are different people responsible for each steps. And so we just share a Google Sheet, which is a giant spreadsheet, so we always know what's going on. And once a day, I'm just checking in the spreadsheets to see where everybody is on the different shows. Then I know if I need to encourage someone to get something done on time, or just have a sense that things are flowing along properly.
And it's interesting how you break it down to that process, because like sometimes there's a few small actions you need to take for one podcast, a lot more you need to take for a different podcast, but each has a different level of responsibility to it, which can ebb and flow at different times. And Gene, there's been a really great interview, and you've given us so much great wisdom, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
So I think the question that we need to be asking ourselves more often, and it really comes back to the work that I'm doing, is what are the 3 most important tasks that I need to be doing every single day? And it could change day to day. And when we recognize the fact that we're not doing one of them, is to honestly ask, what would go wrong if I did this particular task? And that's a question that helps us to get to the root cause of what we're actually afraid of. It's not, what would happen great if I did this? Well, we know what would happen great. But what would go wrong if I made an offer for you to hire me? What would go wrong? Like I said, well, he could judge me, and he could say no, and he would tell his friends that I suck, and whatever those things are. And then as I name those things, I drag them out into the light of day, and I get to evaluate them. Because realistically, when you say no to me, you're not saying, no, you suck. You're saying, no, this is not the right fit for me right now based on the information I have and the resource state that I'm in. And so by asking what would go wrong if I did this, it helps us to uncover the piece of evidence that says this is dangerous, and helps us to see why we're sabotaging ourselves with that action.
Gene, thank you for sharing with us that powerful question. Again, that theme of tapping into our subconscious. So thank you so much for that question, all of your great insights. If you guys want to keep up with Gene, see what he's working on, check out the Tapping Q&A podcast. He's been at it for a decade, so I mean, like, really incredible stuff. Is there any other places that we could find you in addition to the Tapping Q&A?
If you go to tappingqanda.com, tappingqanda.com, I have a free 10-part guide to eliminate self-sabotage, and it teaches you the basics of tapping, as well as giving you 10 different lenses. You get one every single day on how you can actually identify the things that are causing sabotage and how you can get rid of them.
That link will be in the show notes, markaberti.com/E249. Gene, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be on the show. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Mark, thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn